Passionate love doesn't have to decline over time. A new study has found that the brains of people in long-term loving relationships show continued activity in the same regions that are activated when people first fall in love. With me now is Dr. Arthur Ahrens, co-author of the study and a social psychologist at Stony Brook University. Welcome to our show.
Pleasure to be here.
Now, don't we know this, that some people stay in love forever and others have real problems? Is this a personal thing or is this a genetic thing?
Well, when you say don't we know it, it's been thought for a long time that love inevitably declines. There have been good reasons from both an evolutionary point of view and just from people's experience that it just can't last. And so we were actually surprised. The fact that it does exist in not just a tiny, tiny percentage, and that it's not just that people are kidding themselves, it seems to be real, was a surprise and an important change in our understanding.
For the purposes of the study, how did you define long-term passionate love?
Well, we defined it in a couple ways. One is we didn't know how many people we'd actually find, so we actually started advertising. We asked for people who are madly, intensely in love with their partner, who've been together for 10 years or so. And then we used some standard questionnaires and interviewed them.
And how many couples turned up?
We did an initial set of interviews with 20 couples, and then we brought another 20 into the scanner. The initial 20 were on the West Coast, and the scanner was on the East Coast. So we did the scanning with a new set of couples.
When you say scanner, we're talking about an MRI?
Yes, an MRI scanner.
And how do you even observe the brains of people who've been in loving relationships for a long time? What do you look for?
Well, what we do is we put them in the scanner. They bring with them a photograph of their partner and photographs of several other people that with whom they're highly familiar, but with whom they don't have strong romantic relationships. And so while they're in the scanner, they're alternately looking at these different photos. And what we look for is what areas of the brain are more active when they're looking at their partner than at the other photos. This is a standard methodology for you need to have a control, because just looking at a photo, you're going to get all sorts of brain activation from the visual processing and so forth. So you need to have a control that's equivalent in every way except that crucial element.
And did certain parts of the brain light up again and again?
Yes.
When people looked at their loved ones?
Absolutely. And what surprised and delighted us, really, is that it was the same areas that we've seen when we did an earlier study of people who were newly intensely in love. And these are an area known as the dopamine reward system, same area that's active when you win a lot of money or you expect to get some great food or when you take cocaine. It's a central reward system in the brain. It's the ventral tegmental area, the caudate. There's a whole system that is associated with dopamine.
So if people had lied to you and said, we really are quite passionate, but turned out they were having problems in their marriage, you would have found out right away just simply by what you saw when you looked at their brains?
Yep. I mean, there's some variation from individual to individual in how the brain works and where things are, but we would not have found this consistent pattern across seven. We put 20 people in the scanner, but two or three we had to exclude because of motion. We had 17 in the final analysis. And we saw it in virtually every one of them.
And you say it compared pretty much the same as this earlier study in 2005 with people who had just recently fallen in love?
Yes.
There's differences at all?
Yes, two differences. It's interesting. In addition to this central reward system, this dopamine reward system, in the newly in love people, there was also a fair amount of activation in anxiety, areas associated with anxiety, tension, obsession. And we did not see that in the long-term people, which goes along with some of our questionnaire research. You know, when you first fall in love with someone, there is that intense focus, that sexual desire, centrality to your life. We saw all of that is the reward system, and we see the same thing both by self-report and in the brain. But also when you first fall in love with someone, you're afraid if they're out of your sight for 2 minutes, they're dead or they found someone else. If you've lived with someone for 20 years, you're not as unsure. So we weren't surprised that we didn't see the same anxiety sort of response. On the other hand, we saw something new in the long-term people. In addition to these reward system activations, we saw some activations associated in animal research with attachment, with connection, with long-term bonding.
But I find it interesting that sexual attraction gets linked to a reward system. I guess there's no other way to explain it in a biological way, but still.
Well, this is not merely sexual desire. Sexual desire, sexual arousal, has a specialized system in the brain, just like hunger and thirst do. But this, people can feel sexual desire for someone and not feel in love with them.
Mm-hmm.
The reverse is less common.
I've heard that happen sometimes.
But what we're seeing in the brain of people both newly in love and long-term in love is this strong reward system. In the animal research, we call it selective attraction.
Now, when
that you want sex with anyone, you want sex, you want connection, you want a bond with this one individual.
When you interviewed them, did they reveal any tips on how they created these long-term passionate relationships?
You know, it's really hard to say. They're very happy as well as being intensely in love. We know from lots of research in general what makes for happy relationships. Whether it is just the combination at a high level of all those factors, or it is something in addition that makes these people not just happy, but, you know, they see their partner and their heart pounds, their partner is the central person in their life. This is intense. There may be something extra there. It's going to take studying a fair number of people to be able to sort that out, and we haven't been able to do that. It's hard to get funding for studying love.
People. Ramona in Brooklyn left a comment on our show page asking, is it necessary to maintain monogamy to achieve this?
We don't know. You know, there's not many mammalian species are monogamous. A few are. None are perfectly monogamous. Now, the question is, are those people who are most intensely in love, are they strictly monogamous? I don't know. My guess is yes, because they are so focused on their one partner.
Well, I hope you get some more funding, because this is really interesting stuff, a lot more interesting than some of the other things that do get funding.
Well, it's interesting, but, I mean, research that gets funded, I think, is usually good research. It's hard to ask people to fund studies of love when they also need to fund studies of depression and so forth. But this isn't that expensive a research. We're hoping a foundation will come along that will want to help us out with this.
Thank you so much for talking with us. Dr. Arthur Ahrens is co-author of the study that we've been discussing. He's a social psychologist at Stony Brook University.
Thank you very much.